He flew directly over the top of me, and his knee hit me square in the forehead, knocked me out cold. Shit happens.
It's about to.
It's about to.
Hey, this is Party Like a Rockstar podcast, and I'm your host, Joel. Today's episode is brought to you by Misha's Kind Foods. They're an LA-based small business making the world's finest non-dairy cheese on the market today. They're lactose-free, paleo, keto, kosher, perev, and 100% vegan. If you like what you see, check out the next video. If you like this video, please subscribe and like by clicking the little round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or our other guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. The handle is Joel Rody. If you haven't already read my book, Memoir of a Roadie, it's now available through Amazon and paperback Kindle or as an audiobook. I hope you enjoy the show. Anyway, I slipped, Chad. I told him that I was like, I told him I was Hi, bringing Chad. You on.
Hold on, Tim.
Oh, you know, another day in the office or the zoo. The zoo. This is the office. The rest of it is the zoo.
I'll introduce you guys, and then we can figure out what the hell we're going to talk about.
Awesome.
Tim Quinby is a monitor engineer and front of house mixer. He's done 1,011 shows for Slayer over a 17-year time period. He's also worked for Robin Thicke, Kool & the Gang, Testament, Everclear, 311, Aretha Franklin, and Exodus. Chad Olick is a house engineer. Now, if I remember, I'm going to read the same thing as last time when you were on, Chad, and you were like, I did not do front of house for all those bands, but you worked for these bands, so it's okay. So shut up this time.
Fair enough.
But I'm reading the same thing. So he's worked for Linkin Park, Puddle of Mud, Survivor, Thin Lizzy, Flogging Molly, Chevelle, Anthrax, Daughtry, Deftones, Weezer, Panic at the Disco, Shinedown, Peter Frampton, Jason Bonham, Disturbed, and Fallout Boy in some capacity. Better?
Perfect.
We call it work.
I'm already curious.
Yeah.
First things first, I stopped being a monitor engineer a long time ago, but I'll do whatever. I work for an artist. You know, if they need help, I'm there to help.
Yeah.
But I'm curious of Chad, what's your favorite?
Oh, God.
Hey, come on. What was the best time?
I really enjoyed Thin Lizzy a lot. Mostly, I'm a child of the 80s, you know? Yeah. I grew up with Whitesnake and Motley Crue and, you know, all that stuff. And John Sykes played with Thin Lizzy when I was working for Thin Lizzy.
Did you do that with Ray Granville?
Ray, no. I know who Ray is, but no, Ray wasn't there. Okay. Matter of fact, it was just me and two backline guys when I was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a tour of Europe that was, I mean, it was a lot of fun. You know, it was staying up till 3-4 in the morning, hearing all the old, you know, the classic stories and whatnot.
Yeah.
But that was
how
a lot
did
of fun
you fit all that work in between all the memes?
This is pre-meme.
Oh.
Yeah. This is.
It inspired him.
Yeah, this is like 2000. When did I work for them? 2007 through 9, I think, is when I did Thin Lizzy. But yeah, so, I mean, for me, I think just appeasing my inner child, you know, with John and Tommy Aldridge was the drummer then. So,
Again, how can you not like that? That's
exactly.
I would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd come and watch.
Exactly. Yeah, I've actually been very fortunate. I've worked for very few artists that I would, as a matter of fact, only really one artist, and I won't name which one it is, but only one artist that I wouldn't go back to work for, kind of regardless of how much money they had.
I can't say that.
So Tim, with you, you've been with Slayer for, well, since the dawn of time, practically.
Since the redawn of time with them,
sure.
In fact, that was kind of the whole thing, because when I started with Slayer, they were already not an original band. We had a replacement drummer at that point, which Paul did a great job. Love Paul. We've always got along really well. but I actually stepped away for a period of time while that all readjusted. And then I ended up coming back when Dave Lombardo came back. So I got the original band and kept it going, for a while.
What did you do before Slayer? Or what was your first national tour?
Well, you know, it just depends on, you know, where you look at. I mean, that was really my big professional break, I would say. I had a lot of short-term experience, you know, two-week, three-week tours, years and years of club experience by that point in time, too. As again, I put on the little list there.
Yeah.
I did Alrosa Villa as a house engineer. I did Harpo's as a house engineer, and I did Flashes in Cleveland as a house engineer. So I knew all of these people and all of these bands. Again, the 80s bands were all playing these venues. So I was working with all of these people then. And it's snowballed since. Harpo's was my last big club gig because, well, they don't get a whole lot bigger than that room. After that, you literally have to go into theaters or bigger. That's kind of how it played out. I just got pushed, and then I did a bunch of, random stuff. Again, I was out, picked up monitor engineering gigs, front of house gigs, this, that, and other thing. I was having not so much good time doing that, Aretha Franklin bit. She was, all the respect in the world for who it is, but she's not no fun to work with. And then somebody was all like, "Hey, you want to go out and try this?" I was like, "Sure, I'll do it." So I went out and I talked with the band, and they gave me a shot, and it worked.
That's cool.
I just never left. My deal I made was basically with the band. Obviously other people put me in the position and stuck me in there. But when it came down to actually, you want the job, it was literally me sitting on stage with four guys and having to be interviewed. And it just kind of went from there.
Did you guys tour together? You two, is that how you know each other? Or?
No, I don't think we've actually met in person, have we?
No, well, no, we've literally walked past each other on front of house platforms a million times, and I've known who you are.
Yeah, same, yeah.
And it's, again, that's just kind of how it is. I know that at one point in time, your name got brought up on Slayer. It didn't pan out, but, it wasn't, it mattered not to me.
Right. I got the call. Decisions. I got the call from Rick Sales Management, Kristen, about it. And don't remember who I was out with at the time, but I was already on the road.
Yeah.
And I was already on a gig. And I think it came down to a little bit of timing, but a lot of money.
That does not surprise me.
But, I mean, it was just one of those things.
Whatever it was, again, because that's how I found out about it, was through Kristen. Kristen hit me. It was all like, and I was just like, you're the management and just the sound guy. And she's like, well, I just want you to know that he's not coming out there to mix. You know, he's not going to try and take your job. And I was like, I'm not worried about that.
I don't think most
he's going to have to deal with me the rest of this time. No, that would be terrible. Nobody wants that.
So, it's very rare that you get called onto a gig. If you're like, I do a lot of the double stuff where TM, I try not to TM ever if I can help it, but PM front of house, I'll get called for both jobs. And it's funny because only once have I ever been called and told ahead of time that we're calling you for this, but odds are we're ditching the engineer. You know, you're basically, I was called in to try and straighten him up, and they wanted to keep him. I thought he did an okay job. It could have been better. I think there were some issues going on personally that he was dealing with. But I consider him a friend, and we all tried to straighten him up, and he just wouldn't fly straight. So eventually
that's how Chad and I met.
Yeah. I mean, that happens. I've dealt with people like that as well. And yeah. Just like, yeah, I'm supportive as much as I can be, but I can't do it for him. Exactly. Unless you just, no, I'm not going to reach over and do something and go, see, that's better. No, that's.
Well, for this particular artist, it wasn't the overall mix quality. Well, I guess it was technically, it was feedback. It was just a shitload of feedback every night. And they were just over it. And this was an arena level artist. You know, it's not something they should.
And they should be at that level. That's the thing. No, you can't do that.
Yeah. So I got, and I told the guy straight up, I was like, listen, man, do you know why I'm here? Like, why did they pick me of all people?
Yeah. You sound like the Undertaker.
There's a problem, man.
Well, it's one of those things where I didn't want the guy's job per se. You know, like, I was happy, you know, they paid me what I wanted to do the production side. I was happy enough just doing that. Yeah. But
it's funny because I'm just thinking back to something that had happened because of Rick Sales management.
Yep.
Mastodon.
Yeah, yeah.
They were out as our support act on their very first tour. Obviously, I know Nick John was their manager. I know Nick. I know how he's all related to everything. So he just said, hey, can you take care of, you know, just look after everybody, so on and so forth. Well, they brought their house guy out. Sure, no problem. He's got his own desk. Everything is fine. But it was awful. And he was literally going and taping 57s that he was using as guitar mics. He's like, I got to stop the hi-hat bleed. And it was like, you don't know what you're doing to that microphone by doing that. But This is what this guy's doing. And we are doing arenas. They're on their first tour. So Nick asked me what, and I was just like, Nick, I don't recommend that. Everybody else has told him, don't do things like this. This is a different ball game.
Yeah.
He's not listening. I don't have a say. So the next, I don't know, it was probably 3 days later, I walked into the gig in the morning and everybody started calling me the front of house engineer for Mastodon. And I'm all like, somebody not telling me something? Because their front of house guy was still out there. And I literally got the phone call an hour before they were supposed to start going, I need you to mix the band.
Oh, wait.
That poor kid went and sulked.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what are you doing to this kid? Don't let him go and then whatever. Yeah.
Do it the right way.
He ended up being miserable out there for a week before he finally went home.
Yep.
And it was just like, you put me in a bad position. Of course, I'm going to do the best job for your band because I want them to be successful. Sure. I like everybody in the organization. But I don't want to, that kid hated me. Literally, he hated me. And it was just like, yo, I'm just doing a favor for a friend, you know, literally, or for my management.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of doing as I'm told. They're
basically kind of the boss. again, it wasn't like there was great money in it.
No, yeah.
It was literally, hey, can you do this? We'll free you a few extra bucks. Oh, you mean you'll finally give me an entire six pack of Coke instead of whatever? Sure. I'm all about helping out, but yeah, I don't want to be put in that position either. And again, what you were saying, Chad, yeah, it's an understanding that some of these kids have to come up with. If you're going to step into that out of the clubs and into the big game, you have to adapt too.
Yeah.
You are going to have to start learning on a new level. And you are going to have to do it really quick.
Yeah.
Because if your artist goes overnight from playing a club and into an arena and you want to keep your job, you got to adapt that quickly too.
Yep. You better hope that you have somebody there that you can lean on. Like, I was very fortunate. My first few tours, I was very fortunate to have a lot of systems engineers and front of house engineers for Shoko, really, because almost all the early tours I did were Shoko.
Right.
I was doing all the rock metal stuff, and that was Shoko's bread and butter. And I was very lucky to have Jimmy Hootsie as the front of house engineer for Megadeth, and Jake Mann was my systems engineer on that. And those two guys probably saved my career early on, because I was an idiot out of clubs like everybody else. But
the zoo here again.
Hootsie.
Brooke.
You know, it's funny, actually. A publicist just sent me this thing today. It was the singer of Everclear, and he's doing some sort of a thing right now, and I thought of Hootsie immediately.
Yeah.
I got asked to do a favor for someone when they were all like, hey, no, it's not your cup of tea, but can you go out and be a monitor engineer? Well, sure. For Everclear. Yeah, sure. Why? Well, the singer guy, he's a recovering addict. And he's got a little bit of problem. Oh, okay. Oh boy. Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I will say I did the tour. I stayed with them for a while, not years, more months, but we had no problems.
Yeah.
The problems with him existed for 3 days until I had a talk with him privately, and things got back to normal. And
if I dealt with Aretha Franklin, she's Aretha Franklin.
That's right. It's like, yeah. Well, it didn't hurt that all of the guys in the band were Slayer fans. So they were all going, yo, dude, don't piss him off. He works for Slayer.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but I'm here working for you. I'm still friends with all of those guys. Because of that, we still chat all the time. And that was, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
I know Chad has, but have you seen the meme with the,
Chad made it.
I've never made one in my life. That's the funny part.
Then you're great at finding them.
I just acquire.
Well, that's it. You acquire and you spread the word until Facebook gets mad at you.
Yeah, until Facebook doesn't want
you. In trouble by the teacher.
Yep.
By the way, I am the only person I know that has never spent a minute in Facebook jail.
I haven't.
I have never had anything pulled. I have not been censored in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what anybody was talking about.
I had one recently, and it was saying that it was not true. And it was the one, I don't know if you saw it up, I was talking about when you go to heaven and St. Peter, the first guy says that he's a dentist and the second guy says that he's a doctor and they send him back. And the last guy says he's a roadie. He goes, okay, you can enter heaven, but you have to go through the cafeteria and then you go through the... and they
that's so
back.
True. That... but how can that not be a true statement?
They flagged it for being untrue. And I'm kind of like, what the fucking, who the hell's reading this stuff?
But they never seen Spinal Tap. They don't know. You have to go through the maze to get to where you need to be.
Exactly.
You know, the meme was, you could be in Slayer and your teenage daughter will still think you're lame. Have you seen that one, Tim?
Oh, yes.
That's hilarious.
I posted that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you got a great laugh out of it too, man. I mean,
it's funny
that
because
goes up on the mantle.
Because, you know, I'm actually, you know, I'm friends with that whole family.
Sure.
Yeah. After that long, I would hope
not on the Christmas card list. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they all know me. It's again, it's a happy family. Those people in that meme, and that was very accurate. By the way,
well, what do you think, young lady?
But that's okay, because you know they're all good.
What's another good one? Did you see the one with it's with Gilmore and his daughter, and he's trying to show her how to play
guitar? Yeah,
that was really funny too.
Yeah.
It was a good one. Yeah. All right. So one of the questions I like to ask, and I'm assuming I asked Chad this, but funny gigs, odd gigs, weird places or whatever. Do you have any that you remember, Tim, through the years? You must, with just like, can't believe we're playing this.
Oh, you should have gave me that one ahead of time. I could have made a list.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Just off the top of my head, it would be, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there's a million of them. It's just I can't think of.
I think when we were working, I think, Chad, we did a show with Slayer in Portland, Oregon. I think it was. I don't know if Disturbed was still on the bill. Maybe not. But it was Godsmack. It was STP. It was, and I think it was Slayer.
A lot of my highlights come off of other people's shows. That's the whole thing. I'll go and be, you know, obviously there with Slayer, but you know, the one thing that I will say is, you know, I got invited out to watch my first Linkin Park show, from front of house, when I was out on Slayer in Australia, and I went and I was amazed and I was like, holy cow, this is awesome. I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed my own show. And I ended up going and seeing them again in an arena off show from that 2 days later, because it was like, wow, that show was absolutely amazing. So
you're the okay. So I heard about you're the reason they got extra security.
Yeah, because they throw things at me.
Who was mixing it then? Was that Divins or Pooch?
Pooch.
Nice.
Divins was there, though, at that point.
Oh, with somebody else?
He was there. I don't remember who he was there with. Right off the top of my head, because it was Soundwave.
Right.
So he was there with somebody else. I remember Pooch being there and Tater. Eddie Mapp was doing Paramore.
Paramore
on that gig.
Okay.
So I don't know, but I remember running into Brad in the hotel.
Yeah.
So I knew that he was out there with somebody. I just didn't know which particular act at that point in time.
I can't remember where he went after Linkin Park off the top of my head. He's been with Enrique now for so long.
Yeah, I think he realistically probably went to Enrique not too long after that, because he's been kind of there for a while now. That's
really,
you know, and again, when you get to that kind of gig, you don't really have to go do other gigs. If you're in a happy gig, stay there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, you know, I've been on the same gig now since 2013. I've no intention of going anywhere.
Really?
Why bother? If you feel at home and you're enjoying yourself, don't change.
Yeah. You know, they take a little break. I'll go do a little side thing. Yeah.
You know, whatever. If you want to, or if you have a need to.
It's more want.
But you know, there's way that's people that stay in their gigs longer do better jobs in the end all. It comes with experience. This guy's going to pay me more. Yeah, but that guy might not be around next year, and your other band might be headlining over him.
That other guy might be an asshole.
That's exactly it. You don't know what you're walking into. So if you're in a good position and everything is comfortable,
yeah,
I say safe.
Yeah, stay safe.
Whatever. Did you ever think about going into something other than sound in the beginning, Tim?
Well, when I was doing clubs, I had to do everything. But realistically, I was turned into a sound guy before I was even out of high school. I played guitar. I sucked. Didn't matter how much I practiced, I'm just not good at it. I can still play, I still have them. Right, I just am never gonna be that guy. It's okay. But I kept getting asked to be in everybody's band because I had the best guitar tone ever. Everybody's like, dude, your guitar sounds awesome. Yeah, I know, especially when someone else is playing it. Bottom line was, I ended up hanging out with some buddies of mine that were had a high school band. They got a club gig. They were like, hey, can you go be our sound guy? So yeah, I ended up mixing them in a 100-seat pizza shop. might not have even been a 100-seat pizza shop. And it literally snowballed from there. So while in clubs, yeah, I'd hang a lighting rig or help focus or do something like that. My position was always to go back to the soundboard when I was done with the miscellaneous.
What was the high school band name? Do you remember?
No.
Some of these are fucking great. That's why when you ask sometimes.
I do not. It's funny because I'm still Facebook friends with a couple of those guys. And I lost contact with them for the longest time until they showed up at a Slayer show. And they were like, oh my God, you got that gig. Because they played Slayer covers. Oh. It was just all like, oh my God, you're our hero. And it's just all like, dudes, it's a job. I didn't have any idea. It wasn't like I set out to go get the Slayer gig. I just happened.
You're like Slayer for life, man. I had no idea.
That was the whole thing. It was a funny story that actually goes to show how that actually does play out. Is Testament. I did some time, and again, still great friends with everybody in that organization, nothing but awesome people. And we still talk all the time. I got the gig right after Slayer. I went and picked up a Testament tour. Slayer was done. Testament started up. And I, one point in time, sitting in the back lounge of the bus, I brought this up. Oh, I don't know, several years earlier, maybe 88, 89, I went to a Testament show. And Chuck, the singer, stage dove at the end of the night, or at the end of his set. He flew directly over the top of me and his knee hit me square in the forehead, knocked me out cold. I woke up in the off of the stage area because medics had pulled me out there. And next to me was Chuck Billy in writhing in pain because he had just shattered his knee.
Oh.
And they actually had to stop the tour, and Chuck was off for 7 weeks, he said, because he couldn't walk, because he broke his knee. And so then years later, I'm sitting there, I'm now mixing his band, and I was like, hey, by the way, how's your knee? And he's all like, oh, I was like, that was my head you broke it on. And he's like, you're kidding, right?
Oh,
like,
man.
It actually happened. We have witnesses to this. And he was like, that was, yeah. So it's just one of those things, small circle. Yeah. Yeah, I was in the crowd because, yeah, I was into that kind of music. And again, I'd already, in my club days, which were immediately after that, Testament played both Flashes in Cleveland and Harpo's. I never did Testament in Columbus, but both in Michigan and in Cleveland, I took care of Testament then. So, you know, it's just one of those, a funny story, you know, again,
yeah.
It wasn't funny at the time because Chuck was obviously hurt. And, well, I was obviously out cold. And I still had no clue that any of it happened, but yeah, that's basically, we found out, you know, whatever, 10 years later, that actually
fell into place. It's a memorable moment.
It, well, yeah, exactly. He remembers it. And well, I remember it, because I've never been knocked out in a pit. Other than that one time, and it took his knee to do it, because he's a pretty big dude. Again, waking up next to him, yeah, I had that little starstruck moment. But again, I was like, now's not the time to go, hey, dude, I'm your biggest fan, or hey, can I get an autograph? No. So that automatically led me into a situation where I can talk with artists on a one-on-one. They'll always look at me like I'm the crew guy because they're the artist, but the ones that I work with for a long period of time, or the ones that really want to work with me or can see that I can help them, generally treat me on a level. Again, the Slayer guys always did. We never had any of the ego issues per se. And neither have I with a lot of people. Again, the Everclear thing. When I walked into there, Art has an ego with everybody. You know, at that point in time, he hates everybody.
Yeah.
He just, again, he's a recovering heroin addict. Yeah, he was hiding from reality in heroin. Now he's forced to live with it, and he hates it. Okay, I get it. So yeah, he screamed at me one night, one time, flipped out. And the next day we had a talk. He never screamed again, and we talked like human beings the rest of the time. I'm here to help you, but I don't have to be here because I can leave. That's pretty much what it came down to. Either ask me, I'll help you, but don't attack me.
Yeah,
I'm only here to help. And I was asked as a favor to come out and do it.
Yeah.
So I don't mind calling my buddy and going, yo, I'm done doing your favor. I'm going home.
Hold on, we got another guest.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord.
Here he comes.
Jason, my former roommate, turned lighting guru.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe by clicking the round button on the bottom right. To learn more about me or the guests on the show, go to joelrody.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok the handle's Joel Rohde. And don't forget, when you party like a rock star, don't be a dick.